This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots with Amber Cunningham and Mark Tuchek. 720 ABC Radio Perth, WA.
Hey! You got your name in the opener now.
That's very classy, isn't it?
You're feeling good? You're feeling loved? I mean, it's only taken years.
I'm feeling loved. I even got my photo taken too the other day.
Oh, Amber. My God, the pressure's on, eh? Hey, welcome to Roots and Shoots, Mark Tuchek.
Nice to see you.
To see you, nice. You've brought me a lovely bunch of flowers. I mean, you know, you've bought the ABC a lovely bunch of flowers.
I know. It's always a bit sus when I'm out in the garden picking flowers for another lady.
And he's just been explaining. I said I wouldn't dob him in, but I'm going to. Can't cook to save his life, apparently.
I know.
So very grateful for his lovely wife.
Yes, I am very grateful.
What's your wife's name?
Anne.
Good morning, Anne.
And my son... grandson, Beau, helped me pick these flowers for you. So
yeah, I was having grandson envy. Tell me what we've got here. What have we got? What is this one?
Well, this is Calodendron capens. It's called Cape Chestnut. These are all flowering in my garden at the moment. This is a tree. It can be a very large tree eventually if you've got 20 years to wait. But mine's probably about 8 metres tall.
Wow.
And it's very prolific when it flowers. So these got these little... light pink bracts. You can get a white or pink flowering one, and they're not very common, but when they're in flower, they're just spectacular, like a jacaranda. I've got the jacaranda over the other side, and this is a white flowering one, and the petals are littered all over the place, and it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful time of year for it. Phil is in Bunbury, his first cab off the rank. What would you like to ask Mark, Phil?
I've got three old... roses, you know, the old ones with perfume, and about 5 or 6 weeks ago they had that spring flower, beautiful flowers on all three bushes. We cut the flowers, and about 2 weeks later we noticed one had started to die. We checked and found, oh, it looks a bit dry, so we poured the water on. It hasn't helped. The one that's dying, it's now got all brown leaves.
Oh.
Any thoughts?
Well, that's a bit odd. Yeah, because we haven't really had a lot of hot weather too, you know, in order to do something like that. Are the leaves shriveled or are they spotty?
They're not spotty. They haven't got black spot. They were nice and green, and then they just gradually from one side started to go brown, and now they're all brown and, you know, it's obviously under stress.
Right. And there's no wounds in the trunk. Have you looked down?
Well, they're old. You know, the trunks are about 9-10 centimetres thick. They have cracks in.
Okay.
You know how they get there. I don't know how old they are. They're there when we got here.
Yes. Well, it's a bit hard to say without looking at it. But it could have colour rot. But for it to deteriorate that quickly, there's something else going wrong there. Well, you put wetting agent on, which is good, or you've just used water?
No, I just used water.
Yeah. Maybe try some wetting agent, and you can use a little bit of one of those little seaweed extracts in your watering can. That'll help plants that have suffered stress. And put a mulch on that one. As long as you concentrate on that particular one and leave the other ones that are doing fine.
Yeah, they're going well, yeah.
Yeah, but, do all those things and cross your fingers, or
pray.
It could be a good opportunity to get down to the garden centre and buy another rose.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
Thanks, Mark. Bye.
Thanks, Phil. And Judith is in Narrogin with another rose question, and we have a photograph of Judith's rose. You can call Mark on 1300 222 720 with your gardening questions this morning.
Right. Okay. So this rose has got this kind of virus-looking leaf on the undersides of the leaf there. There's kind of mottling to the leaves. That's not a good sign, actually, because what tends to happen is these viruses are actually transmitted by sap-sucking pests like aphids and thrips and things like that. So generally they'll resort to that variegation if the plant is a little bit unhealthy, even though the rest of the leaves look pretty green. I would try and take them off, but once a rose gets a virus, there's not much you can do for it. It's just a matter of living with it kind of thing. So a good fertilising regime, and you know, you might get a few motley leaves, but it won't be as vigorous as it normally would be.
Are you there, Judith?
Yes.
Does that all make sense for you?
Yeah. There's really nothing I can do except take the leaves off.
That's right. And even taking the leaves off, you'll find the virus is actually still in the plant itself. So it won't be as vigorous as your other roses. Unfortunately, not much to do.
Will it recover?
Nothing I can do to stop it from spreading to other roses. I have got 36 roses.
Well, that's the interesting thing, because it is transmitted through sap-sucking pests. If they suck on this rose and then fly over to the other rose and start sucking on that, they can transmit the virus that way too. So, you know, if you really want to be careful and you've got that many roses, you can pull it out altogether.
Ooh, hard to make that call, isn't it, Judith?
It is. Okay. Thank you, Amber and Mark.
You're welcome. 1-300-222-720 is the number to call if you would like to ask Mark a question. He's a good guy. Can't cook, but he's a good guy. Mary is in Cardinia. Good morning, Mary.
Oh, hi, Mark. I've got a question about my sister's magnolia tree.
Yes.
She's got it in her backyard in Dunsborough, and it's the trunk. The tree looks fantastic, but the trunk has these spots on it. It looks like a Dalmatian.
Ooh.
Like a furry spots all over the trunk.
Oh, and do you have any photos of those, or were you just...
I just sent a text through. Oh, I don't know if Amber's able to...
Let's have a look at it there.
Able to
there we go.
You.
It does look like a Dalmatian. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And...
She has three trees. It's in a backyard, so it's one of those houses that has, you know, pretty much all concrete, and then they've just left a little strip in the backyard. There's a house that, and I don't know east-west stuff, I don't know any of that stuff, but there's a house built in front of her, so I guess it gets a fair bit of shade.
Yes, and that's what I'm thinking. It looks a bit almost lichen-like.
Yeah.
But, and I don't think this is actually a problem. So you do get a lot of these, you know, kind of mosses and lichens and things like that growing on stems of trees. And even though it looks a bit weird, I don't think it'll actually be detrimental to the tree.
Well, it hasn't lost leaves or anything like that. Still, the actual bush looks fantastic still. I think she's got three of them, all in a row.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, so
yeah, they still look great. Okay, so I'll tell her not to panic.
Yeah, not to panic. No, all good.
Okay,
thanks for calling, Mark. Mary.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Good morning. I've planted some beautiful tall kangaroo paws in pots on my balcony, but 1 week in and they look to be struggling. Any suggestions, Mark?
Oh, okay. And there's no picture for that one?
No picture.
Okay. Oh, plants in pots. Same thing. Biggest problem is...
Oh, hang on. What's this? Is this it?
Lack of water.
Oh, here we go. Yep. Hello. Well, they've got an ocean view.
Oh.
Maybe it's proximity to the ocean.
Yes. So they are getting a bit hammered. But I'd suggest it's the actual mix that they're in. And because they're under stress, the flowers are starting to kind of weep a little bit. But it could be overwatering as much as underwatering. So without actually seeing inside those planter troughs, what they used in that mix. And... For plants like kangaroo paws that have leaves that come out of a central crown, if you bury that crown too deeply too, that'll set them backwards as well. So make sure that when they're planted, they're not planted too deeply. And I don't know whether that mix or potting mix was fairly decent in those pots, but they probably might recover, but those flowers won't. So eventually they'll just going to wither up and go brown, and you just have to chop them off at the base anyway.
Would there be any value in chopping the flowers off so they could just put their energy into their foliage?
That's true, but they obviously bought them for the flowers at this time, but they're just going to wither and die anyway, so it's probably just going to bring that on quicker.
This is a plant that needs to go to the emergency department.
Oh, it's not drastic.
Stay in a la. Resuscitate it.
Pump it.
Sorry. Well, this is what I'm saying. Cut it off. Cut the flower. Anyway,
I'm not the
gardener here. I don't know why I'm talking.
No, it's true because, you know, when you take the flowers off, it puts more energy back into the leaves.
I knew something.
It is.
That's very exciting for me to know something. Paul is in Subiaco. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Amber and Mark. My good problem is my liquid amber I planted in the winter, and it was completely devoid of leaves when I planted it, and pretty well shot straight away, and it's been shooting ever since and growing. And I'm just sort of covered in shoots. I wonder if I should be thinning it out or just let it do its own thing.
How tall is the plant? How...
2.5 meters, but just like a thin stick, basically, when I planted it.
Yes, yeah. Oh, you'll find... No, I wouldn't do anything at all, to tell you the truth, because they naturally develop a pyramidal shape, so that main leader will keep on growing, but it should get some side branches eventually. But I think you just leave it to do its own thing and it'll sort itself out. So, yep.
Good. Good, thank you.
Good news.
Yeah.
Easy solution. Do nothing.
Do nothing. thanks the best
for,
thing.
Thanks like for calling. Yeah, brilliant. Thanks for calling, Paul. Anna is in Wattle Grove with a jacaranda tree. Good morning, Anna.
Oh, hello, Amber and Mark. I have a jacaranda tree in my front yard and it doesn't flower.
Oh.
It's very sad.
What's the point of being a jacaranda? I mean, I don't want to be, you know.
And I suppose you're driving around and looking at jacaranda envy all
massive.
Over the place. Yeah. And so how tall is your jacaranda?
Oh, I would say it's like 2.5 metres. It looks healthy. It grows really well, but it just doesn't flower.
Oh, is it too little?
Could be too little.
It hasn't gone through puberty?
It hasn't gone through puberty. You're right, Amber. So, and there's nothing you can do to make it go through puberty faster because that would be really weird.
So you're just going to be patient. Oh, you
can
how disappointing.
You can lean the axe on it.
Okay.
I think I said this before, Amber, and you never heard of it, have you?
What does that mean?
You know, when it's an old gardener's tale, like if you've got a lemon tree that's not fruiting or a jacaranda that's not flowering, you lean the axe on it.
So it gets the message.
It gets the message. It's going to get chopped out if it doesn't perform. So that's the only...
I want to know how that goes. Get out there, Anna.
Leave my axe out there.
Yeah, just lean the axe on the tree and, you know, say...
When do they expect to flower, though? Is it like 10 years, 15 years?
Oh, that's sad.
Well, that's the thing about... puberty, it's we get it quicker than some people and others take longer. So, yeah, it's because they're grown from seed. That's the whole thing. They're all variable and they're not grafted. You can get grafted ones, but yours is obviously grown from seed. So there's nothing you can fertilise or do to make it flower. You just have to be patient.
I suggest you dance around it in the moonlight wearing white with a flower crown.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Cast a spell on it, Anna, and do let us know how it goes. And use the axe method. Thank you, Anna. 1-300-222-720 is the number to tap into my expertise, my gardening expertise, which is exactly nothing. Good morning, everyone. Help. Earwigs are giving my garden a hard time at the moment. I have various... traps out like scrunched up paper in tins, corrugated cardboard and strong tape, sticky side up or out around my new lime tree. Really don't want to go down the chemicals path. Any other tips and tricks would be greatly appreciated, says Meredith in Narrogin.
Now, did you say earwigs or?
Earwigs, yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised. She doesn't mean slaters or.
I don't know.
Or.
Meredith, call us.
Mm. Well, earwigs really aren't an issue, so they wouldn't be doing anything to your plants, and nor would slaters. Slaters tend to get into strawberries and things like that and young seedlings when they're little. But, you know, they can just be in plague proportions if you've got in a lot of mulch in the garden and this time of the year. But really, I don't think they would be doing damage. And I'm not sure if they're earwigs in the first place.
Okay, yeah. I think Liv might be trying to call Meredith about that at the moment. Sarah is in Kalamunda and says, what ails my Eastern States native? She's got a photo I'll show in a sec. I can't remember its name. Something pomaderis, I think, but the leaf edges are yellowing. It's in afternoon shade but in the root zone of next door's fiddlewood. Ooh, good diagnostics there, Sarah.
Well, this is... No.
It's got leaves.
It's got leaves. It's an Eastern States native. Gosh, it looks like a, you know, sandpaper fig, but the flowers are really confusing. I don't know what this is.
We don't know what this
no.
is.
No. That's and what did it say? Pomaderis.
She said something. She thought it was something pomaderis.
Oh, that's a mystery.
Yeah,
I've got some homework.
Sarah, maybe do a backwards Google image search on that for a name, and we will do some homework. Patris is in Goolwa, South Australia, just to throw a curveball at all of us. Good morning, Patris. Oh, it helps if I turn the button on. Hello, Patris. We'll try again.
Hello.
Hello.
There he is.
All good?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to have a go at this, Mark.
Okay.
Alocasia macrorhiza.
Very good, yes.
is that the old elephant here, is it?
It is, yes, that's right.
Okay, now the question I've got is, I've got a sunroom out the back and there's some large plants there. There's the monsteria one and then the other, the normal elephant ears. And they're about a metre high.
Yeah.
And they've got heaps of puppies.
Yes.
Now, what I want to do is take them away from their mums and put them in pots.
Oh, that's so cruel.
So no, you
can do that,
What size pots would I put them in?
Well, so the little pups, before you actually take them off the side of the stem, again, make sure they've got their own roots, little white roots coming out, because that'll certainly help them propagate. And really, you just don't want to go into a very big pot straight away. So start off with a small pot, a 140 millimetre pot or a 175. You know, if you go down to your garden centre and talk in those terms, they know what you're talking about. And use a good quality potting mix in there. Just keep them damp and they should propagate very easily from the side, yeah.
Is it another good thing to do? A mate of mine said to me, you have to every now and again go out there with a cloth and wipe the leaves, get the dust off.
Yes, that's a good idea, because a lot of those kind of plants in indoor positions or partly shaded positions in a patio do get dust over the top of them. And, certainly wiping them off is very beneficial for all those types of plants.
Oh, fantastic. So,
you know, some handy tips for you there, Patris. Good luck. How's the weather in Adelaide today?
In Goolwa Beach?
South Australia, I meant.
Goolwa Beach, I am.
How far from Adelaide is that?
110 kilometres.
In which direction?
South.
How's the weather?
It's fantastic. It's where the Murray River hits the ocean.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
Goolwa.
How many degrees, though, in the temperature?
It's 16.
See, I'm jealous of that. It's getting stinking hot over here. Thank you for calling, and we'll speak to you ASAP, Patris. You can call 1-300-222-720 to tap into Mark's expertise. There we go. Now, Sarah from the Hills has come back and she said, hey, you, so it was the yellowing leaves diagnosis I was after, not the name of the plant.
Right, okay.
Okay, should we go back to that?
Okay, yes.
Let's go back to the yellowing leaves. Here we are.
Okay. So they're just around the outsides of the leaves and on the tips, and they're on older leaves too, which just indicates obviously what's happened is that because it's actually flowered, it's sucked all the nutrients into the flowers at the expense of some of the leaves. It's not a bad problem. Just a general all-purpose fertiliser will actually fix it because, it's just a slight nutrient deficiency. But if you use a balanced fertiliser this time of the year, they recover very quickly with the warm weather. The fertiliser starts to get drawn up through the plant. So just use a balanced fertiliser and it won't. It'll come good. I think the new leaves will be fine and a few of the older leaves might suffer a bit, but it'll be okay.
It doesn't sound like it's a death sentence to me. It's not a full munting. It's not even a semi-munting. It just needs some nutrients and it's fixable. That's what we like about this diagnosis. So I read out Sarah's text and it said, hey, you so, and she said, hey, you too. I did think it had the tone like we might be getting told off, but I wasn't sure. Thank you for correcting that, Sarah. Anne in Boyer says, are there any pretty succulents that will grow in dappled shade, if native, even better? She needs Cactus Bob.
Oh, yes. So there's millions of different types of succulents and cacti and all don't need full sun. So it depends on how succulent you want to go. There's even a few Hoyas that have got those succulent leaves, very pretty flowers. There is some Some of them take a bit of part shade too, but maybe don't colour up as well if they're not in full sun too. So,
did not know a Hoya was a succulent.
Oh, well, it's not. It's got succulent-like leaves. It's not really classed as.
I wasn't challenging you.
It's just got juicy leaves.
I like a juicy leaf, so, and it will grow in the shade. Well,
yeah, that's right.
In Perth.
In Perth, and there's millions of different types of Hoyas that you can actually choose from too.
I've stopped gardening since my husband retired because I don't have to. Blair is in Mount Magnet. Good morning, Blair.
Hi, Amber and Mark. Good morning.
Good.
What's your question for Mark?
Well, I'm currently in the garden pottering around and I notice all my pots are looking terribly sad after spring. And I need the names of some plants that are sun hardy natives or sun hardy potted colour, because I'm able to put an order in at a nursery in Perth, but I need to know the names of the plants. So can you give me some, please?
Oh, and so what, they ship them to you, do they?
Well, I've got relatives in Perth who are coming up and they'll be able to pick up this order from this beautiful native nursery in Perth, but understandably so, they won't go around and just choose plants for me. And I'm a keen gardener, but I do not know the names of any of my plants.
Oh, okay. That's a bit tricky. So some hardy natives, there's plenty of grevilleas. Actually, I've got a grevillea.
And sorry to interrupt, but I specifically need potted. It's the pots that I'm looking for to fill.
So you
to put in pots.
To put in pots, yes that's yes. Right.
So small things.
So how big are the pots do you have?
They range from medium to small. So small, I'd be looking at the sun hardy potted colour, which I'd rip out after, you know, they've done their thing. And then the larger pots, I'd keep the natives in there for as long as I could keep them going in our 47 degree summer Mount Magnet heat.
Truth, right, okay.
But I'm doing well.
Okay.
I love your optimism.
You have to. You plant 10-5, survive, it's a win.
Oh.
Yeah. So you can get little dwarf grevilleas. There's one called Mount Tambaritha, which is a nice little woolly-leaved grevillea with a little pink spider net flower. That's really attractive. You can get dwarf bottle brush, like Callistemon Little John, and they're fantastic in pots too. They do their own thing. So that one's called Callistemon Little John. You can even get some dwarf plants like Casuarina. There's one called Cousin It, which just looks like a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like...
Oh, I've got one of those. Great idea. They're wonderful.
There you go. So that's actually a good choice too. And if you want something native and edible... There's even some little dwarf lily pillies, which are very beneficial too.
Love a lily pilly.
You can pick the fruit off those as well too.
And they'll be fine in a pot.
Excellent in a pot.
Oh, wonderful. And what about potted colour? Potted... So not necessarily native, but something that will just bring a bit of colour to the veranda.
Well, it depends what they've got in potted colour. A lot of the vincas are very good this time of the year. Lots of vincas in the garden centres to choose from. And they're a great choice, as long as you use a good quality potting mix and don't let them dry out too much. So potted vincas I'd go for, yep.
And my petunias are looking fabulous at the minute. Is it too late to replant some now?
No, not at all. You can plant petunias most of the year, actually, so good to renew and plant more.
Can I hear a chicken in the background there?
Oh, I'm literally sitting on the floor with a notepad and pencil next to the chook pen. I'm having such a lovely morning in the garden.
Next to the chook
Blair, pen. Do the chickens have names?
No.
But Why not? Come on.
The rest of the animals do. The goats, the ponies, the sheep, the dogs. I've got three little girls and they'd never cease to come up with a new animal name.
How many goats do you have?
Too many to count. Oh. We have a brand new baby on the back veranda at the moment, and he's been named Tiny. He's about 2 days old and orphaned, so we're bottle feeding him. So he's the latest addition. But he'll have to move out of the garden once he gets big enough to eat the plants.
He will. It sounds idyllic. You're creating a lovely life there. I had chickens. You know, just you might want to take this suggestion. My chickens were called Beyonce, Kelly, Michelle, Rumi and Blue Ivy. So they were Destiny's chickens and Destiny's grand chickens.
I love it. I like the theme. I'll suggest it to the kids and see what they say.
Then you have to play Lemonade. It's a seminal album. Blair, thank you so much for calling. That was brilliant.
Well, thank you for the advice. I shall ring the nursery back now and say, I've got the names. Do me an order.
Brilliant. Yeah. And send photos of the veranda. Thanks, Blair.
Thank you. Bye.
Nola is in Bunbury. Good morning to you, Nola.
Good morning to both of you, and I want Blair's house.
Yeah, nice. Sounds good, doesn't it? I don't want the 47-degree temperature, though.
No. I sent her a photo of a Butterkins.
Okay.
Have you got that, Mark?
Yes, do now, yes.
So I want to put that in a really big pot, right, where an acacia from the eastern states failed to thrive. It's dead as a doornail. So I want to put that in a pot that's going to get full sun all winter, most of summer, gets watered well, and I want it to grow to about, I don't know, metre and a half high, metre and a half wide. Ooh. Will it do that?
It'll be pushing to get to that height. So this is Sidax Butterkins, and it's a little yellow flowering plant. Flowers just about all year round. Loves the hot weather. Does really well when it's warm, but it's really a small shrub. So I doubt whether it'll get as big as that. But it'll certainly get bigger if you put it in a bigger pot, because that pot that you've got it in there, it's just waiting for a next size up.
Yep. So it's going to go into a big pot. Is it too much of a shock for it to go into this huge pot before it goes in to other things? I mean, it's going to be surrounded, like, with creeping thyme and all the rest of it that comes in that pot as well.
Ooh. Around the base, yep. No, yeah. It'll be fine. Excellent. And just, again, use a good quality Australian premium potting mix in there, and it'll love it, especially being repotted this time of the year.
All right. Thank you so much, always.
Thanks, bye. Nola. Now, we've sent Christine Layton out again, and I wonder if you've ever spotted an insect in your garden and thought, I bet Sabrina or Dr. Bugalugs would know exactly what that is. There is a locally made app that can tell you exactly what it is. The My Pest Guide Reporter was the first of its kind in Australia. It was created by the Department of Primary Industries and Regional Development 10 years ago and allows you to send a photo of a bug to an entomologist who will ID it for you. A real human will reply. Gosh, that's rare. Not only that, My Pest Guide Reporter is responsible for one of the most significant biosecurity discoveries our state has seen. Community reporter Christine Layton spoke to Dr. Nicole Hammond, Technical Area Manager in Plant Biosecurity, about the DPIRD milestone.
This is Roots and Shoots with Amber and Mark on 720 ABC Radio Perth, WA.
The shothole borer was first reported through the My Pest Guide app by a member of the community that noticed something unusual in a branch off her tree.
Let me play that for you again.
The shothole borer was first reported through the My Pest Guide app by a member of the community that noticed something unusual in a branch off her tree.
The My Pest Guide, all one word, reporter app isn't just about identifying those cute, furry, yellow caterpillars with their furry little hat, which turned into Sparshall's moth, by the way. This app could save WA from other invasive pests like shothole borer. You could be the next person to accidentally discover a pest of this magnitude. So how does the app work?
The reports, when they come through, go to a small team of triage officers. Our two main triage officers are entomologists by training, and they love insect reports, but we also receive reports for birds and reptiles and plant diseases and a variety of weeds as well. So the triage officers look at all of the reports as they come in. They'll identify and respond to those that they can. Otherwise, they forward them to subject matter experts, people that can identify weeds and birds. And the reports are responded to with an identification and a bit of interesting information about whatever's been found. The report is then sent back to the reporter via the app and also via an email. There are humans behind the app responding to every report.
And I can vouch for that. I submitted a photo of a thick green caterpillar with little black horns eating my Hakea franciscana and said in the text field, "Who is this little I mean, who the hell is this law-breaking green slug? And they replied straight back saying,
"You have found a very well-fed and happy caterpillar of the native Hakea wine moth, sometimes called the pink-bellied moth. The nibbling done by native caterpillars on their host trees and plants often stimulates new growth."
And thanks to that bit of information, I let it live. Isn't that a horrible thing to say? But it's true. The damage to the plant was negligible, and the kids love getting the reports back, and so do I.
So reporters can add up to 4 photos to each report. Quite often we're after a close-up of what you've found, a picture of the whole plant. Often the species of plant is really important to helping us identify what you've found, any striking symptoms, and a size guide.
So you send in all this information about bugs and perhaps photos around your house. You might be wondering, what happens to this data?
Obviously, early detection of pests is important, but we also use the data to support market access. It helps us demonstrate freedom from pests that are important to trade.
So is it still okay to send in 15 reports of 15 different, largely boring-looking stink bugs? The answer is yes.
Native stink bugs are a good one to report. They help us infer the absence of some of the exotic stink bug species that we don't have in Australia because they would live in a similar habitat. One of the exotic species is the brown marmorated stink bug, and that likes to congregate in people's houses, and its name explains that it is quite a smelly pest. It's a key nuisance pest in other countries. It's also a horticultural pest, so it can attack fruit crops.
And despite my best unprofessional efforts, I could not get Dr. Nicole Hammond to confirm whether anyone has sent in the wrong image to my pest guide reporter. She only gave me this.
We've received some interesting test photos, mugs on people's desks and, you know, items like that.
That was Dr. Nicole Hammond, Technical Area Manager in Plant Biosecurity. The My Pest Guide Reporter app has a dark green logo with a red bug on it and is free from any app store. Mark, you were just talking that up a lot.
Yeah, I've got it on my phone. It's brilliant. You just take a photo, send a report, and they can say if it's a good guy or a bad guy. And, yeah, I've actually had a reply from Daryl Hardy before too, so
it's
actually it's very interesting. So it's a great thing to have, and it's better than Google.
My husband was told by Deepa to the annual ant problem.
Oh yes,
stick one on a bit of sticky tape and send it in,
their
diagnosis. And so I'm wondering if this might bypass the need to trap an ant in sticky tape.
It does, yeah, for sure.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Penny is in Gidgegana. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Amber, and good morning, Mark. I have a gardenia in a pot. It's been in the pot probably about 5 or 6 years. Always done extremely well, get lots of flowers from it each year. But this year, like in the last couple of, I'd say 7, 6 weeks, all the leaves have started going yellow. I've tried chelate, I've tried Epsom salts and gardenia seed, but it just keeps going yellow and I think it's dying.
Okay. Yeah, those Epsom salts and those iron chelates and things like that are very good. But in the ground you can use more. In a pot, use very little because you can actually overdo it very easily in a pot.
Okay.
I would say if you actually repot it, you'd be getting the best benefit. And rather than going the fertiliser thing, I would say, and you can even put it in the same pot. So you can actually pull it out, replace the potting mix, put it back in if you've got a nice big pot, and just use some fresh potting mix and do that. And I think you'll find better results than trying to go down the fertiliser regime.
Yeah.
Because you can overdo it in a pot.
I'm so glad you said that, Mark, because that was my gut feeling on it. I did repot it probably 2 years ago, and it's never, ever gone yellow like it is now. So maybe I'm inclined to agree that you're spot on.
Yeah, do it again. Excellent.
Thanks for that, Penny. This is a tractor seat plant that we're looking at here, and what are we looking at? Some brown patches on those gorgeous tractor seat shaped leaves.
Yes. So tractor seat is just like that. You know, it's just a shady plant that looks like the old-fashioned tractor seat. And those little brown patches, they can be the result of, you can just get little small snails grazing on the surface of these particular plants because they don't eat all the way through.
Bastards.
I know. Little tiny snails, you can hardly see them. So baby snails just do as much damage because, you know, they, you know, their own body weight.
Yeah, I mean, they just, I shouldn't malign them. They're just doing what they need to do to survive, aren't they?
Yeah, they do know what they need to do, but having a good hunt through them is a good idea, and squashing them is an easy way to get rid of them. Those little brown patches aren't going to recover, unfortunately, so it's going to be upsetting for a while until the new leaves come through and they're not damaged. So that's
it. You know how I mentioned Destiny's Chickens?
Yes.
Our new batch of chickens are called Chickens of Destiny. And I named them after my three cardiologists from my surgery early this year. So they're Michael, Harveen and Jürgen.
Jürgen?
Jürgen, the German surgeon. Coxie was saying last night, he goes out, Coxie has chicken and beer time.
What?
Yeah.
Is so that a thing?
Yeah. Every afternoon he lets the chickens out of their pen so they can free range, and he has a beer with him and he sits in a deck chair. Looking like an absolute numpty. I love that man so much.
I'm getting chickens.
Get chickens. He said that Jürgen last night just had a massive feed of slugs that were congregating around where the drip feeder is on in his veggie patch, and she was just like filling up. And so I'm suggesting for the baby snails, do we need chickens?
Jürgen over there.
Jürgen over there, and have that. Chicken and beer time for everyone.
It'll be a thing.
It's a. I tease him relentlessly when he sits out there, and I video him every night, and I make up dumb songs.
I think he's got it right.
He's a good man.
I think he's got it.
He's very tolerant of me. Now, what have we got here? We have Sue in Denmark reaching over there. Hello, Sue. What would you like to ask Mark?
Oh, hi. I've got a thornless blackberry, which is in full fruit at the moment. It's beautiful. But I've also got the new shoots coming up, and I'm not sure how many of those do I prune off. Do I prune some back and cut the others off at the ground, or what do I do?
Okay. So, no, you want to leave those ones because a lot of these cane plants, raspberries, blackberries, they fruit on second year wood.
Second year, yeah.
So the fruiting canes that you've got going at the moment, they just get exhausted, and you actually prune those off and you encourage the new canes to replace them.
So I've got lots of them coming up though, so...
You can thin them out, yes.
Because
if they're crowded, you still don't allow... you know, sunlight to get into the fruit. So you can thin some out. And that way the ones that you do get to grow will be bigger and stronger and produce more fruit for you. So do that.
Beautiful. Thank you.
No worries.
Thank you for that, Sue. Now we have another identification. We should just call the pest app. What's this? Do you... oh, it's a beastie, this thing. It is black with white and yellow spots on it.
You know what I call that?
What do you call that?
It's a Christmas spider.
Oh.
Have you not seen those?
No, but you've just reminded me this morning. I walked right through a spider web on my way here. I did quite a lot of aerobic activity. Did a little dance.
Is that how you get your exercise? You've got to walk through a spider web.
That was my cardio for the week.
Just go like this. No, Christmas spiders, fantastic. You just want to encourage them. They just appear. It's a good guy. It's a good guy, Emma. And they're so pretty. They're so pretty. And you only get them this time of the year, so cherish that one.
Cherish the love.
Yeah, Christmas spiders. I don't know the real names of what they're called, but...
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to Google that.
Christmas spider.
Christmas
in WA.
Christmas spider, Western Australia. Let's do this. Tiny, what are they?
Say they're...
Ostracantha. There you go. It's even in the name. See, it translates as Christmas spider, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, that's very pretty, and I'm not twitching at all. Not uncomfortable at all. Matt from Ocean Reefs has a citrus question. He says he has a lime tree that he's leaned the axe up against to try and make it fruit. It's only fruited once at our previous home about 7 years ago, but not since being transplanted. It was in a pot, but now in the ground, looks green and healthy each year, struggles a little with leaf miner, but buds a lot, never progresses to fruit. Any ideas?
No, okay.
Sit there and call it a loser and see how it responds.
Yeah, that's right.
Loser.
Give it sticks and stones. Generally, if they're getting too much of a good thing, they can actually put all their energy into green leaves at the expense of fruit. So you can't induce it to fruit, but you can change the fertilizer balance. So if it's getting too much nitrogen, you can add a little bit of potassium to help even it out. And so look for a fertilizer that's a bit higher in potassium and one that's less in nitrogen. That's the only thing I'd recommend.
Okay. Now, apparently there is an earwig situation. Di from Crossman says, I have an earwig plague, millions brought in, I think, with pig or chicken manure. I boil the kettle and go out and lift up pots, rots, etc., and cook them. That's distressing. I mean, I know what it's like to be overrun with a plague. I also put out traps, empty cans, one-third fill with water, add some soy sauce and then a good layer of vegetable oil. It's only half full and the earwigs love it and drown. I leave for days before emptying. Also, veggie scraps on the ground go out at night and they are usually covered in earwigs and get the boiled water treatment. They have done a lot of damage. They love rose blossoms and hiding in the petals. You need to go out in the garden at night. Oh, my Lord. To see what is there, and if there are a lot of earwigs, do these things ASAP before the plague develops. Also, surface spray for crawlers around outside of pots and veranda to stop them coming into the house. Starting to see a result, but it's ongoing. Di, that sounds like a nightmare.
I know. Well, there you go. That's quite a comprehensive earwig course of action.
Slaughter.
Mm.
We had a Cape lilac tree with the white cedar moth that came
yes.
in.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I have some residual PTSD about those times. the bags you take to the supermarket.
Yeah.
I had those caterpillars crawl out at the checkout.
Oh.
And the way the poor girl looked at me, and I just felt so shamed for having caterpillars in my shopping bags. And I'd put on a hat and they'd be, oh! Anyway.
That's hilarious.
I feel sorry for you.
Insect shamed at the supermarket.
Yeah.
What if that's a thing?
1-300-222-720 if you would like to tap into Mark Tuchek's considerable knowledge bank. And I'll stop talking because I am absolutely of no help. What was the name of the insect app that we were talking about?
My Pest Guide.
My Pest Guide.
Get that.
Yeah. Dark green and white, I think it was. And this person, Mike, says in Albany, can I prune my pink flamingo Acer Negunda? When and how much? Ooh.
Oh, right. It's quite a big one.
Is that a box elder? Is that its other name?
Oh, very good. So Acer's, Acer Negundo, pink flamingo, has usually got white with a slightly pink variegation in the leaf. It's a very pretty very pretty tree. Oh, do you want to prune it?
Mm.
Why do you want to prune it?
It's so lovely. Don't prune it.
Yeah. My reaction would be not to prune it because you can destroy the shape. If you're not familiar with, if you're not an arborist, but it doesn't look like it needs pruning to me. And he's got the space. I'd let it go.
See, we have...
Do nothing.
The reason I know the name of this tree is because we have them in our backyard and husband does prune them every year. Why does he do it? I know why he does it. He wants the sun to get on his veggie plants.
Right,
so that's
there we
a
go.
Valid reason,
okay.
isn't it? So, given that might be the context here, you would say yes, you can prune it.
Yes,
and based on my experience at my house,
and you can actually lift the canopy up, so you can actually prune the lower limbs to let the light underneath it, because it is deciduous, so it loses all its leaves in winter.
Yeah,
but if you lift the canopy up and thin it out, then there'll be more sun getting underneath it.
And so given that, is it the right time to prune it or would it be better to wait until autumn or winter?
No, you can prune it now. You can prune these trees any time of the year. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Leaning over. Janet is in Bassendean. Hello, Janet.
Hello. Oh, good morning. Thank you for answering my call.
What would you like to ask Mark?
I would like to know exactly, someone to explain to me, what is acidic soil?
Okay, so that's in regard to the pH of the soil. So
exactly.
So soils can range from a low pH, which is usually deemed acidic, so anything under 6 or 7, so 6 or 7 is around the neutral mark, and anything under that is deemed acidic. Anything over that is alkaline. And the way you can tell is you can actually get a little soil pH indicator that gives you colours, and you can test it.
I'm actually doing that, but I want to know how to make ordinary soil potting mix acidic, because I'm trying to grow azaleas and they keep turning up their toes. I've gone through over $100 worth of plants.
Wow.
And they keep dying.
Okay, so you can buy specific azalea camellia potting mixes that are already slightly acidic, but if you buy a general purpose Australian premium potting mix, that potting mix is actually slightly acidic anyway to actually make all the nutrients available to you. So you can.
Yes, well, I've done all of that and they're still turning up their toes, but I've got that and I'm about to change all the pots over them, but they're huge pots. And so there's a lot of soil I'm talking about, but it's quite difficult.
Right. So make sure you don't buy soil and put it in a pot. Make sure you're buying potting mix. But it's more critical to make the soil acidic in the ground than it is in a pot. So you don't have to – that won't be the reason why those plants are dying.
Hmm. Well, I don't know what it is. What would you suggest?
I think you're on the right track. If you can buy a good quality potting mix and repot them, that'll be a good start. And make sure you plant them at the same level too, because sometimes you plant them too deep, that buggers them up. But really, you only need to make the soil acidic in the ground.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay brilliant. Michael is in Wembley Downs. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amber and Mark. Just have a quick one. Should you put wetter soil on native plants if your soil is hydroponic?
Yes, you should. And I do, and I think it's a good thing to use, particularly this time of the year as it starts to dry out even more after, the rains we've had. And you can buy them in either granular form or a liquid form, and it's very beneficial on the ground. Obviously, don't put it over the foliage, but I'd still recommend it for native plants. Yes.
Okay, that's fine. And should I lessen the amount of water that I generally use on the natives?
Yeah, because the idea is that it works best. Funny enough, if you can try and pre-wet your soil before you put the wetting agent on and then water it in afterwards, so it actually penetrates better. So, you can actually you need to water it in anyway, because if you put it on concentrated, it can burn. So make sure you water it in well.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael. My daughter has texted in and says she's still haunted by those caterpillars. They haunt her in her dreams.
Oh, as well.
Probably crawled over your face, didn't they, darling? And also, she's asking what this demonic bug is and will it hurt her and her family. It looks like the kind of girl that's going to bite her boyfriend's head off to me.
Yes.
Is it a mantis of some description?
It is, and that's what they do too, especially after they have fun.
that's
how they dispose of them. They just toss them aside, bite their head off. They've done their thing. It is a mantis, a praying mantis, and it's a good guy. Praying mantis is a good guy.
It's a good woman, but not her husband. Yeah. Oh, so aren't the males so much smaller, so it's hard to tell because there's not a comparison there?
And we can't see underneath. So I can't tell.
turn it over and take another photo. That'd be great. Now, listen, it sounds like chicken and beer time is a thing.
Oh, look at that.
Look at these girls. They are magnificent. This text from Terry in Ferndale says, having a beer each day with my girls is my happy time. They are Gloria, in brackets, Gaynor, Natalie, in brackets, Cole, and Tina, in brackets, Turner. G&T, G&T. Gloria, Natalie, and Tina.
Look at them.
That's beautiful. Like, if you're a chicken and beer person, get in touch. 1-300-222-720. I do believe it's something what keeps him sane. He doesn't need pharmaceuticals. He's got chicken and beer.
That's it.
He's a simple man.
Yep.
This photo, this plant appears from nowhere, dies off in winter, and is thriving. What is it? I don't really want it where it is. Shall I kill it? / remove it, says Sue in Mundaring. Oh,
it appears.
It's got a nice leaf.
And it dies off in winter.
There are more photos. Shall I scan through?
Sure.
Let's see what else we got here. There you go, same. And this one. Riveting radio.
Gosh, the silence is just breathtaking. I don't know what that is.
There's got to be a plant ID app to go along with the pest ID app.
Google's been getting better and better, but still it makes mistakes. And then they use AI and then that hallucinates. But this, I'm hallucinating. I don't know what this is. I've got two bits of homework.
Two bits of homework. Lorna says, shrimp plant. Any yes. suggestions, re-care? Are they easy to look after? I don't even know what a shrimp plant is.
They are. They're called Bellaperone, and they've got these little unusual bracts. They come in.
What's a bract?
A bract is like this. So see that flower that's yes. come, and then afterwards, oh, there's a little insect there.
Look, I think it's a creepy crawly in the studio. I like to be hermetically sealed. Nature.
Amber, should I bring that closer to you?
No.
I just jumped on you.
Oh.
I brought some wildlife into the studio. I'm not going to be popular.
We're going to pass it over to Clint Wheeldon.
Okay. Mm. But the bracts are really coloured. They look like coloured petals. So they're coloured leaves. So
and they're at the base of the flower.
Yeah,
is that
so
right?
So poinsettias are coloured bracts.
Gotcha.
Okay. And shrimp plants are easy to grow. They love the warm weather. They're a tropical plant. They need part shade. They need a little bit of liquid fertiliser. And it's still there. I've got eyes on it. I'll take it with me. And, it's a really unusual-looking little plant. And they look like little shrimps.
Okay, there you go. Did we answer a question? I can't even remember what it was.
Yeah, it was easy to grow.
PlantNet is a pretty good plant ID app, says Kim. There you go. Now, Joanne in Wongan Hills wants to know what we are the ID, we are the identification people.
The insect
now.
ID people.
I don't know what the mark's
what's
getting.
What's that down there?
Oh, don't! You don't! Is it near me?
No, it's over there.
Oh, my God. That was so mean.
This is a weevil of some sort, and the best thing to do would be just – Olivia's just laughing at you.
Olivia's lost it. I'm cowering in the corner.
It's still there, Amber. It's over there. And it's some kind of weevil, and the best thing to do would be to take a picture of that and send it into My Pest ID. To get the right.
I've got the sillies now. How long have I got? I've got 1.5 minutes to – try and speak some sense. Can I formative prune, I don't know what that means, prune Eucalyptus vitrix trees now, or should I wait for cooler days next week, and should I water seaweed? Tonic, something jumped on me after pruning it, says Deborah and Coochie. What is formative pruning?
It did not. Eucalyptus vitrix is, it's also called Snow Queen. I'd be alarmed that you've got open shoes.
Oh,
Amber.
You are.
But Eucalyptus vitrix is a very easy gum tree to grow. They call them snow queens. You can trim them now and stop it. It's over there. It's sitting there.
I can feel things crawling on me.
It's still sitting on the carpet over there.
Do you know what? Someone called in and complained last time I got girly about critters and said they were going to call the Human Rights Commission because I was making women look stupid.
Oh.
Can you believe that? I'm sorry. I don't like little bugs crawling on my skin.
Fair enough.
Now I'm angry. Mark Tuchek.
I don't like them either, so, but it's not crawling on me. I can still see
it. You're in the wrong job, aren't you?
It's still sitting there.
It is 10 o'clock. The sporty boys are standing by with their sporty balls, and they will be bringing you sports talk. Mark Tuchek, see you next week.
See ya.
9 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturdays from 9 o'clock.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth.
Or listen on your radio to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 720 AM.
You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Call us in the studio on 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back midweek to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.